Blog Talk Radio.
This song is to remind you of the winner within. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you heard, you are a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the first and not the last. You are a conqueror, a conqueror, a conqueror. Over the enemy. No weapon formed against me
shall prosper against me.
Ah, greater is he that is within me.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Tedline. I want to thank you, those of you that prayed with us yesterday, prayed with me. I have a praise report. Hold 1 minute, please. George, I just opened up your mic. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? I opened up your line. Uh-huh. Everybody
yes,
can
ma'am.
Hear you. Everybody
okay.
can hear you this morning. What would you like to tell the TED line this morning?
I'd like to tell the TED line the experience I went through. Starting from, I didn't tell you last night what started the breakup in my whole family, which includes my brother, my sister, my dad, and my mom. About 6 years ago, my mom had a stroke. It wasn't too bad of a stroke at first. It did take her down. She did get paralyzed from the left side. So as the year went by, she was almost going to be able to walk again. This devastated our whole family because my dad stuck with us the whole time, the whole year. We stuck together and everything was going fine. The thing is, exactly a year later, right before she started getting up, almost to walk again, a worse stroke hit her again 1 year later. So this one really messed her up, paralyzed her from the left side. Ever since then, she's been in the nursing home for 6 years now. Well, my dad, he left us. He had left us. He went off with some lady. He's still married to my mom. He now lives with the lady right now. Right now, I communicate with him. I see him. I go see my mom as much as I can. He still goes and feeds my mom as much as he can. It broke the family up. I started fighting, arguing, anger. My sister. It got so bad that my sister had to put a restraining order on me. And that hurt me. So as time went on, when I was in court, you know, the judge said, "This is sad, very sad case." He had no idea what was going on with my life at the time. But instead of 2 year restraining order, he went ahead and gave us 1 year because he told us that 2 years was too much. It seemed like we loved each other, and we did. Believe me, we did. Me and my sister were the only ones growing up. And then my brother came when I was about in the eighth grade. Well, me and my brother, we've never had conflict, and we never did. And this never took us apart. But it just took me and my sister apart. My sister went warm with my dad's side. Well, I got upset. I questioned my brother and my sister why they went out of town with this lady to my mom's spots. Why my dad took them to my mom's spots, and I wanted no part of that. So anyway, I had this a lot on my shoulders, a lot on my head. Things were happening to me. I gave up. I gave up on life. I had a beautiful home, beautiful wife, 4 beautiful children. I basically stopped caring at work, my jobs. I had good jobs. I started arguing with the managers. And at this point, I'm not praying at all. At this point, God is not in my life. I'm just not. I'm doing drugs. I'm doing alcohol. I mean, alcohol, drugs, and just real heavy, just anything to get rid of this pain. So there was times I tried to hang myself. There was times I got scars on my stomach because I sliced my stomach open a couple of times. I sat there in bed and held my stomach together so I wouldn't have to go to the hospital. Anyway, as I went forward, my wife sat with me and said, you know, she was with me. She was there for me. But anyway, as time went forward, it affected my jobs. I started falling behind on my vehicles, my house. I fought as long as I could, and I gave up. So now, 6 years later, it was still on me, and I was still going back. I lost my house recently, 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago about. I sold my truck. That was paid off. I'm going to donate. I don't know if y'all know what that is, but it's to help children, and you get money. They give you money, and you donate plasma out of your body every couple of days, twice a week. I wasn't using that. I was using the money for drugs, for the synthetic marijuana. I was bad. I started spending. I don't know how I was getting the money. I started spending $80 a day on drugs. And all of a sudden, this is a true story right here, where one day my son told me, when I heard it from my son, he said, "Dad, you need to get off that drug. It's terrible. I cannot respect you like that." Well, that was my 17-year-old. He's 18 now. Actually, he was, 15, 16 at the time when he told me that. And so I had quit for 2 years. But when I quit, I came out of a club. I went home. And that night, my son had told me to stop. So I cleaned out my little, where I had my drugs. So I'm there in the restroom. And that smell was so potent that you have Clorox, you have to, and then 3 days later, it's still there. But anyway, that night, I'm looking to hit the drug one last time, right? I don't find nothing anywhere. And then overnight, as I think, I'm like, why did you want to do that again? So the next morning, I opened the cabinet, and I'm using the restroom, you know. The same time I opened the cabinet, and I see a little paper towel, little napkin. Well, there's some of that drug inside that napkin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if my family was messing with me, testing me, put it there. I don't know if God put it there. To this
day,
we
know God didn't put it there.
Somebody put it there because it wasn't there the night before.
Okay.
So anyway, I grabbed it. I got it. And I thought about my son. I threw it down very hard into the commode. First of all, I was going to call a friend, come pick it up, because he was on it. And then I thought in my head, I said, you know what? I don't want Joe to do this. I want him out of this, off of this too. So I got it. I threw it with anger in the commode. As I did that, I flushed the commode, and I can't explain, but my shorts, I had some new shorts on. They lifted up. I felt some air, and I just didn't know what it was like. So from that day, I quit. It had been 2 years that I quit. So anyway, I find myself in the 2 years still having problems, and my anger problems were outrageous. I mean, I just punch holes in the wall, everything, you know, you name it, at work, cussing to my bosses, everything. I lost my jobs. I lost 4 jobs in 1 year. I lost my house. Recently, I lost my house. Okay? It added up to where I lost my jobs. Then I lost my house, my cars. I had nothing. I sold my weight set, beautiful weight set. I started selling things. Now I wasn't on drugs, but I lost it all. So my wife was good with the kids. They went to her mom's house. Me and her mom and family, we weren't getting along at the time because they were upset at me, and I don't blame them. I was doing wrong things. So I went off on my own on the streets. A friend took me in. I was at an apartment. Well, I couldn't stay there. I stayed there for about 1 month, and they found out. So they kicked me out because they were going to raise his rent, and I had to leave. So I called upon another friend, which I thought was a friend, and I ended up in the garage staying with him. Well, I stayed in the garage when the cold weather came, very cold. Now, this guy, selling drugs, everything, had that synthetic marijuana right there. So once again, I'm in depression again. I'm wanting to commit suicide again. I'm down low again, hit bottom. He offered me the drug, and I took it. I took it. I started doing it for about 2 days. It would drop me on the ground. I'd knock over things. I could have gashed my head open, if anything. I got real lucky. But the guy was selling me drugs. I was giving him money, and he was supporting his drug habit too. Crack. He did crack cocaine. So anyway, that wasn't the best place to be. But let me tell you this: when you hit bottom, you hit bottom. And I don't wish this on anybody. But when you get locked out at 10 at night, when that door locks and you're in the garage and you have no restroom, no shower, no food, you do what you got to do to survive. So I wasn't as bad as I was peeing orange. I don't know if y'all know that, but that's very bad. If you pee orange, that's dehydrated. I would go to the backyard. I would lean against the house and use the number two. I did it 4 times while the pit bull looking at me like a dog, you know. I would go get the water hose and I would clean it down. This guy knew nothing that I was doing that, nothing, but I was locked outside. Anyway, I get into the garage. He starts telling me, "You're messing up my things. You're falling everywhere. You broke my speaker." But he's still selling it to me. So then he finally says, I finally start saying prayers by myself in that garage. He finally says, "I cannot give you no more of this stuff because you're messing up all my things." And I didn't know what I was doing on that drug. So in a couple of days, I quit again. And my body started feeling better. Anyway, I needed to eat. Let me tell you this. I didn't take a shower in 7 days. I hadn't smelled my armpits since I was 10 years old. 10 years old. I'm a very clean person. I didn't eat in 40 hours. 40 hours. That's when I started peeing yellow and everything. No water, no nothing. Okay, so as I started praying, I would take the bus to the CSL Plasma Center. I got a little bit of money. They started to deny me because I was dehydrated. They had to almost pull the plug on that one time because I took the saline. It's like water almost to get your fluids back. I took that bag so much and I wasn't even done. They had to give me water. They had to put me in another bag. Anyway, I'm walking. I still had a beautiful van. I get out the plasma. My van was gone. My van had my work clothes. It had my work jacket, not my work clothes. It had my steel-toed boots to work. And it had my winter jacket, and it had some tools, and it had lunchbox. And it didn't have very much that I think I needed, but it did take away a few hundreds of dollars. Anyway, they took my van to Houston, so there was no way of me getting it. So now I'm on foot. With the money that I got right there, I went straight to the phone, which was across the street, and I paid my phone because I knew I had to keep my phone on because I was looking for jobs. And so I'm walking down the street, and my friend's watching these posts that I'm putting on Facebook. And I go ahead and I post something that I'm walking down Ayers. I need help or something. I don't know what I posted. I don't remember exactly, but all of a sudden, my friend, he leaves his job, and he's like, I want to say 4 miles away. He orders pizza for his company. He orders pizza for him. He said he saw my post, and instead of picking up the pizza where he was at over there, he came and picked it up over here down where I was walking. Well, all of a sudden, I'm crossing the street, and I hear somebody honk, George. George, get in, man. Get in. Come on. Well, this guy gave me $100. First, he gave me $60. He said, man, with this help? I said, yes, it will help. I appreciate it. And he's from my neighborhood where I grew up. His name's Rick Science, and I appreciate that, Rick. All of a sudden, I said, man, can you do me a favor? He took me to the pizza place, ordered the pizzas, all that. I said, can you do me one last favor? All you got to do is drop me off right there by the phone so I can pay my phone. I need it on. And he said, you know what? Here's another $40, man. How much is your phone? I said, it's $50. He said, okay, here, I'm going to give you $100. You pay your phone. And he said, man, I got to go take some pizza to my son at school and then take this back. I said, don't worry about it, Rick, man. You helped me right there. I said, I'm good. I'm going to take the bus. So I departed from him. I went back to that garage. I took the bus back to the garage. All of a sudden, I know I needed help. I needed to get out of there. Well, I was hungry. I went and got me a meal at a restaurant, which that meal didn't hit me very well because it was too heavy for me and my body was just messed up. So I go home to the garage and my friend comes out and he says, hey, you have that food stamp card? Because I had applied for food stamps a few weeks before or a couple of months when I was at the apartment. Anyway, I said, yeah, man, I got $230 on there. Look, Spend $100, okay? Just spend $100 because I'm not gonna be here very long, man. And so, anyway, long story short, he brings me back to my card with the receipt with $8 on it. $8. Later on, I get to take a shower in his house. I go in, use the restroom. I went ahead and looked in the refrigerator. I looked at the pantry. I looked at, there was no $200 in there. There's no way. I filled up the apartment with $200, and you could see food there. Over here, he either took the food to his mom's house or he took it and got money for drugs. So I got pretty screwed over right there. So anyway, that's when I called my friend, and actually my best friend, and I don't know why I didn't call him before, and my friend left. He got mad at me. He got mad at me because I didn't call to him. He said, what are you doing in that garage, bro? I said, I was afraid to call. I didn't want to call nobody, but now I need to call somebody. He said, you come over here right now. So I called my wife. She came pick me up. Actually, I did not call my wife. My friend that was there, I got all my stuff, packed it in his truck, and he took me to my friend. Unloaded it. I'm here. I got a shower. I got a heater. I got everything here that I need. And right now, I've been getting 3 meals a day. You know, so anyway, I still, you know, Jessica Garcia, she was the one with the cancer and everything. They got healed by Miss Shepherd. Called me and she texted me on the messenger and she said, "Hey, I got a number here." I skipped a little bit before this. My friend came and picked me up on a Thursday night, right before that big cold front came in. Very cold. I didn't have a jacket. My jacket was in Houston. My friend, not even knowing, he said, "Hey, man," he got here about 10 o'clock at night, and I was freezing in that garage. It was already cold. He said, "Can I pick you up and bring you over here for a little while? You want to drink a beer or something?" And I said, yeah, let's do that. Come pick me up. Anything to get out of that garage. He said, "Come pick me up, man." So he picks me up. We go over there. And all of a sudden, I tell him I haven't been eating so good and this and that. And I tell you what, I took a drink out of my beer. One drink, I just start throwing up foam. I couldn't handle the beer. I felt a little better after I threw up. Again, I start throwing up. So I could not drink. I said, I'm gonna go ahead and I'll be here with you. And just I'll drink water. I'm so dehydrated. So I went and got water. This is one of my best friends, too. He's from Houston. And the thing is, he's not here. You know, he's in Houston. He's going to move down pretty soon. But anyway, I'm talking to him, and I'm freezing. But I got some good hoodies on, and it's just a cold night. That front is just coming in hard. And anyway, he goes, Let me show you something, man. He opens his trunk of his car, and he says, "This is for you. I brought this for you because this is the third one. I got two back home when I was in North Dakota. They gave us these, and they're $200 jackets. They're fire retardant jackets for the refineries where I work and stuff. And anyway, man, I said, "Oh my God, are you serious, bro?" "Yeah, this is yours, George. I wanted to give it to you." So there goes one materialistic thing that was in my van that I got back, you know. And I had been praying. Remember, I've been praying on my own. But at the same time, I think before that, I think Jessica had already called me to call you, Miss Shepherd. Actually, mm-hmm. That night, I believe I got the number because I was there at my friend Henry's house. I was talking to his mom. Yeah, I was talking to his mom and stuff. And his dad, and he said, "Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and call this number when I get time." I believe I called you. I didn't text you, and you didn't answer, and it didn't let me leave a voicemail. So I called Jessica, and I said, "Yeah, it didn't let me leave a voicemail, but I'll try her again later." And she said, "Promise me you would try her again later." I said, I promise, I'll call her." So anyway, time. The mom, I explained what was going on in that garage. And my mom, I call her mom. She's like my second mom. She says, "Son, you're going to stay here tonight. You're going to stay warm tonight. You're not going back to that garage. And if you have to stay here from now on before you go somewhere else, then that's what's going to be. But you're not going to be in that garage." So anyway, the next day, my friend, I said, "Well, you know what? Take me to my stuff. I'm going to start getting it ready, and I'm going to go ahead and call Leonard." And I went ahead and did that. And that's when he got on me. You know, he got really mad. Like, "Why didn't you call me, bro? Like, come on, man." So he took me in. He fed me. He told his wife, came in here. He rents an apartment. It's not his wife. It's his baby's mama. She takes care of him. And, you know, they got a good communication together and stuff over the kids and stuff. Well, anyway, she came in and she said, "The only thing, George, that I don't want in here is drugs." And I said, "I'm drug free, Toby. I'm drug free." I said, "I will not disrespect you like that. I appreciate you letting me stay here." So then I that's when I called the tech line. That's when I called the tech line, and I got on it. And I'm not sure when the first time that I called you, Miss Shepherd, was last night. Did I really talk to you on the phone? Is that?
Yeah, that was after the prayer. It was after the prayer. Uh-huh, but
okay.
let me say something, George. I just got some pictures sent to me. You were a rising baseball star. I got pictures with information about you in the newspaper. I got pictures of you in your baseball uniform. What's happening?
I should have signed pro with the New York Yankees. $100,000 and I let it down. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
I got the pictures. I'm going to put them up on my website. Keep going. Yeah, you call me. I didn't talk to you until after the prayer. But Jessica called me and said to pray for you, to start praying for you.
Okay, I appreciate that, yes.
Okay, now go ahead.
Okay, so last night I felt like I had to call Miss Shepherd because
wait a minute. What happened during the
prayer? We went through deliverance, right? We went through deliverance before.
Yeah.
Okay. And then yesterday, things happened to me here with my son. I had my son. I took him bike riding. I had both sons, and then Saturday, and then one son I had yesterday. So anyway, we're bike riding out at the park, and then I took him to skateboard at this little park that has skating and stuff. And so when we got to the park, there's a basketball court, and after he's finished skating and riding the bike, he's like, "Man, I want to play some basketball." I said, "Okay." I said, "You know what? Let's go back to the apartment. Let's go get the basketball." I said, "Man, you know what? I believe it's a little flat. It's still round. It's not real flat, but it's a little flat. But I think I brought a needle to put air in it. We have the air pump here. We just didn't have the needle to put the air in." I said, "Okay, well, let me check my bags. Let me check." I checked everywhere. My son went inside to Toby's house. He checked over there. We checked the food room. We checked the drawers. We couldn't find a needle. We couldn't find a needle anywhere. But at that same time, I'm just thinking to God, like, I think God, I think you're going to help me find this needle somehow. I don't know how. But this needle is going to pop up somewhere. So we're looking, and then I'm beginning to think, okay, well, maybe we're not going to get the needle, but at least we still got a round ball. Maybe we can still shoot. So I told my son when he came back from looking for the needle to put the air in, he comes back with the ball, and he said, "Dad, I think," I said, "you think you still want to shoot the ball, even though it's flat? It's probably going to bounce 6 inches off the ground, you know. You're going to have to pick it up all the time." Yeah, let's still go shoot. Let's go shoot. So I turned around. I said, "Okay, let's go." I turned around, and I stepped on something that felt like a rock. It felt like a rock. I said, "Oh, what was that?" I pick up my foot, and what do you know? I don't know how it got there. I don't know what's going on, but the needle was right there. There was a needle to put air in the ball right under my foot. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that's possible, but it happened. So we put the air in the ball, and then we go. And that's what later on at night I started thinking, and I said, "You know what? I need to call Miss Shepherd, and I need to thank her." And I went ahead and called her. And I start thanking her for the deliverance she did that morning. And I go ahead and I start talking to her, and I start talking to her about what happened, you know, everything. And then I gave her a little taste of what happened to me and my life and what I was going through and dehydration and little, you know. So she really wanted me to talk to y'all about that. And so all of a sudden, I know why I called her for sure. The miracle came my way.
Yeah.
And, I said, "You know what, Miss Shepherd? I believe I received a miracle tonight." She said, "Okay, how's that?" I said, "Okay, they just called me for a job, and I got to go tomorrow out of town in the morning. Actually, I leave at 6:30 this morning, and I'll be going to a job, good money, and my wife got a job. It's coming together, so I believe I received that miracle real quick. I didn't expect it that quick, but it came to me. Yeah.
Why don't you tell them what you got delivered from?
Oh, yes. One of my main problems, I just explained earlier with my sister that I got restraining order and all that. I had very bad anger problems. Very bad anger problems. And, of course, the drugs wouldn't help, you know. So, anyway, last night, you know, I'm a Cowboy fan. I'm on Facebook looking at all this stuff. In the deliverance, I can guarantee you my anger came out. My anger came out. And I didn't tell you this, but as I spit up and coughing and spitting up, my saliva and stuff, it was a different color, and it turned to blood at one time, real light.
Yeah.
It looked like a light blood.
Yeah, that means that the stronghold came out.
Yeah.
When you see blood, the scripture says that when Jesus prayed for the man's son, remember, that the demon will fight you. It will be so strong that it resists deliverance, and it'll tear you on the inside. That's why I went on and always pray for healing, because the demon will fight. Have to be forced out.
Okay, and I didn't realize that I had it on speaker. Can y'all hear me? Because I had the phone like if I had it on regular phone. Is it sounding okay?
It's sounding great.
Okay. Yes, and that's so last night in the Cowboys game, you know, I mean, you're talking about when Cowboys would lose, or when haters would come in and say, screw the Cowboys, man, I would start cussing them, like, come on, man, we go to the park right now, and stuff like that, you know, and go overboard. So last night, I had a bunch of people poking at me and poking and poking, and I'm all like, did you see that game? That was beautiful. I mean, like, I'm excited for Green Bay to beat my team, because I just thought that was the most beautiful game I ever seen in my life. Like, and then I started like, wait up, what? You're not getting mad at the people? You're actually telling them? And as I'm telling them, I say thank the Lord on that. I'm telling them praise the Lord. I'm telling them you have to believe. First of all, we were down 21-3. People were already getting mad. The Cowboy fans were getting mad. I said, do you believe? Because I believe. I said, you have to believe we are a good team. You have to believe we can come back. And I said, have the faith. And I kept on. And I would throw little messages on Facebook, you know. Well, I had friends get on, a couple of friends. Man, I love the attitude, this and that. But, you know, they didn't know me. I was throwing some suicidal posts, you know, all through 2016. It was just ugly. So, man, you know, I started talking to these people, and then calm down. It's just a game. But if you believe, and I said, can I get all – if I can have all Cowboys fans believe, like I believe right now, we can come back and possibly win this game. And if we don't win this game, I don't want y'all to get mad, because it's just a game. And you know, I pray for the fans – to get home safe and the teams and all that. But anyway, we lost. But look at the score, what it was. We lost by a half a foot. If that ball would have hit that field goal post, we gave us a chance to win the game. You know, but Cowboys came back and almost won that game. Well, it's going to be an experience for them, because they got a young team. We got plenty of time. I said Green Bay, they're veterans. They're probably this is their last shot at it right here. So anyway, I didn't get mad. And as the texts keep coming, I just was like, you know, that's okay. But I can tell you this, I think we're going to be the best team in the decade, because we're young. And I said, but be humble about it. I said, I told the people, and You know, just little things like that I started telling them. And then I just noticed that I don't feel angry at all. I just didn't feel angry at all. I didn't feel that anger that I had inside. And that's when I called Miss Shepherd last night, and I thanked her for it. Like, I believe my anger is out of me. I'm so happy for that. So
you know what? Let me tell you. Remember in your prayer, I kept hitting heaviness.
Yes,
heaviness.
Ma'am.
That's when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said,
and I had a lot of heaviness in me.
Uh-huh.
In my shoulders.
You felt it?
But
you felt the difference?
I feel relieved. I feel very relieved. I feel relaxed. I feel like I can go out and conquer the world now.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, George,
whoever's listening to me, I believe you got a pretty great story right there, that to not give up on life and to ask for God, and angels will start coming your way. Somehow, some way, God will send you angels. And Jessica and Miss Shepherd, and I actually had another angel come my way from a guy from San Antonio, prayed over the phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just angels just started coming my way to make me believe and to get back on track. And I believe I'm going to get back on track. It's beautiful.
I believe you are already back on track. God gave you a job, and one day you wasn't even looking for the job. God gave it to you because God loved you. And because I'm looking at the texts I'm getting, you had over 116 people in shock right now because of your testimony. Friends that loved you that didn't even know you were going through this.
Yeah.
And I'm talking 100. That's a lot of people. A lot of people look up to you. A lot of people love you. But Jesus loves you more. And I want to tell you something. It is an honor. God blessed me. God honored my ministry by allowing me to have the opportunity to have a part in your life, to have a part in Jessica's life. That means I got a part in all the lives of those people that are going to hear you and that are going, that you're something else, my friend. You're something else. And
I have a big heart. I've always had a big heart. That was no problem for me. I always would take my shirt off for anybody. And I just went south on it, you know. I went south on everything, but I'm glad. I'm so glad and happy right now that I'm coming along.
I'm going to send you something I wrote, and I patterned it after every man or woman called of God. The person who told me this was Evangelist Steve Hill. He's going to be with the Lord now. But he told me this in Pensacola, in Brownsville, at the Brownsville Revival. I don't know what year it was. My husband might remember. But the Brownsville Revival was a baby revival when we were there. And he said, every man or woman called of God is going to hit the guttermost in order to get to the uttermost with God. And at the time Steve Hill said that, I said to myself, well, I've already been as low as I could go. I don't think I could go any lower. But let me tell you something. When God starts making you, George, he just took you to the guttermost so he can take you to the uttermost. Okay?
Yes, sir.
You can look for the goodness of God to be evident in your life. As long as you will put him first, give him glory, and obey him and follow him. Follow his leading. But you're not going to have any problem with that now, because he's made you a real believer.
He's made you a real believer.
And I think it's terrible that the devil stole somehow I'm looking at this. But that's okay. You're going to do better than the New York Yankees.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But
I love my family very much. And I do whatever for them, and I want them back together. I want all of us back together in the house. My wife called me last night. She said, the kids are happy. They're jumping around. They're like, Mom, we're going to move to a house again. We're going to move to a house again.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
I'm so happy right now. I love my family, and I never meant for this to happen. But it's gone now.
Who did I tell you last night? Who did I tell you was responsible for this?
The devil?
That's who did it.
Yes.
That's who did it. Human beings didn't do this. They couldn't have. Satan targeted you because God has chosen you. No other reason. No, absolutely no other reason. And brothers and sisters, he does it to all of us. No exception. No exception. But I'm going to tell you this. Our God is greater. Our God is bigger. And our God is gooder. Gooder.
Amen.
Gooder.
Yes.
And like I say, I count it a privilege. I count it a privilege and an honor from God when he uses me and this ministry to transform. That's what I'm talking about. Transform a life. Take a life from one place, one position, and completely change it into another. I think it's awesome. I just think it's awesome. Because God is awesome. And you're awesome. And this TED line that sticks with me and prays with me, it wasn't one person. I'm the leader. I'm the front person. But it was prayers of a lot of anointed people on this line coming together in one accord, in agreement, that produced the miracle in your life and in Jessica's life and in the lives of many others, that they don't come back and say thank you. They never come back. But I know God has changed and transformed many, many, many lives. So I want to thank you for coming back and telling the rest of the story. Letting people know that it doesn't take God a lifetime to do anything because he's God. So many people have been tricked. They've been tricked by the devil to think that God got to do something part way. That God got to do a little bit here and a little bit there. Brothers and sisters, let me share one thing with you this morning. Picture this in your mind. Picture this. Jesus feeding 5,000 people. Jesus multiplying 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. And only feeding half of them. Only multiplying it enough to feed half the people. And then the other half got to sit over there looking at the other half eating fish and bread. You know you can't even picture that. Because God isn't like that. When God does things, brothers and sisters, if you can only believe for half of it, then that's all you're going to get. If you can only believe for a third of it, that's all you're going to get. If you can only believe, you can only believe to the level of faith you have in God. And the level of faith you have in God is determined by how much you know him. How much do you know him? You don't want miracles. You want a miracle when you need one. You want to be blessed every day, in every way, continually. A miracle is required sometimes. Like Jose changed the scripture on Soul Tracker this week, and he put the scripture for Soul Tracker, except you see signs, miracles, and wonders, you will not believe. What we doing with the Soul Tracker? Soul Tracker is to bring you evidence and proof. But you know what's better than Soul Tracker? Mr. George right here. A living, walking, breathing demonstration of the transforming power of God. So George, maybe that's why you were born. Maybe you were born to go through this. Maybe you were born to become a demonstration of God on this earth. Maybe that's why you were born. You were already a demonstration through your athletic ability. So now that means you were a demonstration in the physical. Now you're going to be a demonstration in the physical and the spiritual. Hallelujah! To God be the glory. To God be the glory, brothers and sisters. We are not on this 40-day fast. And look, you think you weren't eating. God put you on a fast and sustained you. God put you on a fast. Because he knew what it was going to take to break down and pull the toxins out of your body. God been working. God was right there with you through it all. You'll never go back. Why? Because God has strengthened you from the inside to the outside. I love this TED line. I love the people on the TED line. But most importantly, I love the Jesus coming together on one accord, one purpose. That was to meet the needs of the people that are hurting. I said a couple years ago, he was going to use this ministry to meet the needs of the people that are crying out to him. You didn't cry out to no Erica Shepherd. You didn't cry out to no Ted Line. You cried out to Almighty God. He heard your cry, and then he used human beings to be part of your answer. And I'm so grateful. I'm going to pray right now for the restoration of all families. All families everywhere, Father God. I thank you that you're going to bring restoration. I thank you that you, God, are going to deliver people from those drugs. God, you knew that was a mission of mine years ago, and I did what I could do about it by establishing ranches and homes. So I thank you, God, that that mission has been awakened. I thank you, Father God, that we will become your instrument for change. But I thank you, Father God, we're going to follow your lead as you bring families together, as you restore families, as you reconcile men and women, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, mothers, fathers, husbands, and wives. I thank you for that this morning. I thank you. I thank you, Father God, because you said what God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Brothers and sisters, I think I'm going to let you know tomorrow, in honor of Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King, today I speak his words. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. In the name of Jesus, we shall overcome. A lot of people forget that Dr. Martin Luther King was a preacher first, on an assignment and a mission from God. And he spoke those words, we shall overcome. I'm telling you today, we shall overcome all of whose enemies? God's enemies. God's enemies. The devil is God's enemy. When we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and be our personal Lord and Savior, we got drafted into the army of God. And you know what? I'm glad about it. I'm glad to be a spirit warfighter for God. And you know what else is really, really beautiful? General James Mattis, who was just named, I think he was named Secretary of Defense, which used to be the job title Secretary of Defense, used to be Secretary of War. But years ago, Dr. James Mattis was on the team that coined the term warfighter with the Commandant of the Marine Corps. And that's where I got that term, warfighter. It is a real military term for every soldier that has served in combat on foreign land. Well, I told you the other day, we are foreigners, pilgrims, aliens, strangers in a foreign land. Our home is in heaven. But we have to conquer where we are on this earth until Jesus comes. We don't even have to win. Jesus said, occupy until I come. But we got to occupy for God's kingdom on earth. So, Brother George, you are welcome home, and you are welcome as a spirit war fighter in the army of the Lord. You hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
And appreciate you're going to do awesome. You're going to do awesome. Why? Because the Lord loves your heart.
Praise your heart.
Your heart.
Thank you very much.
Brothers and sisters, I feel, I'm going to talk more about it, but I feel I need to go to Corpus Christi, Texas. I feel that there's a work. I feel there's a work of deliverance that the Lord wants done. I don't have to feel it. I'd be stupid not to be able to see it. Because there are many, many stories that are coming forth. I don't have to stay there, but I need to go there. Same way he sent me to South Dakota last year. I feel I'm being sent to Corpus Christi, Texas. And if God is sending me, you know I'm going. Mm-hmm. I will talk to you more about it tomorrow. I want all the Ted Line to pray for Corpus Christi, Texas. You know they had an issue with the water this year. I thought that was really strange. Then I found out they had been hiding the issue of the water from the people. The water is important, and water is important to God. Because water is symbolic of God's Holy Spirit. God said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Your body is comprised of 70-80% water. So, thank you, George. See how God made the time for you to be on here this morning?
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it. I feel really good about it.
We send you a lot of love this morning. And you can teach a lot of boys how to play baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And how to be good at it. And how to be good at it. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank you this morning for being on this tail line. I want you to know I love you. I really love you, and I thank you for sticking with me and helping me. understand this is not an easy ministry, not going to be an easy ministry. This is the hardest ministry in the whole Bible. Because you're fighting an adversary that's invisible, that does work in the invisible, that has evil, visible, tangible manifestations of his dirty work. But God called you and me to do one thing. What? Believe. You got to believe. God send you a witness this morning. A witness to his goodness. A witness to his transforming power. Because see, it's going to take power. It ain't going to take no jellyback people. It ain't going to take no wimps. It ain't going to take no fearful and no unbelievers. You're not going to inherit the goodness of God until you do what? Stand up. Stand up. You cannot win from a falling down position. If you fall down, get up. If you can't get up, crawl, grab something, pull yourself up, and God will lift you up. He will lift you up. Anybody comes to you with anything to bring you down, take you down, make you think down, cause you to go down, you know it's the devil. Rebuke it and move on. You're in a new place with God. George, let me just say one, let me ask you one more question.
Yes.
Tell the people the difference between how you felt before the prayer and how you feel after the prayer yesterday.
It's unexplainable, really. It's more like a cleanser. It's kind of like a motor that hadn't been washed in years and years, 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden you wash that motor and you clean it out very good and everything and knock the rust off of it and you start a new life and it starts working a whole lot better. I can't explain it. It's beautiful. Beautiful. It surely is. I believe I've been cleansed.
You have. I'm gonna shut your line down because I'm getting ready to go. All right.
Okay,
but
man.
I'll talk to you when you get back. Be blessed on your new job this morning when you get
appreciate
there.
Appreciate that. I love you and I thank you.
You're more than welcome. It's my pleasure. Ted Line, this is Sister Erica. What can I say? This is my day. Every time I work on my day off, Monday, I get a blessing. I'll see you tomorrow on the Ted Line.
This is a song that my father-in-law wrote. The title of the song is You Keep On Blessing Me. Over and over again. Come on, y'all.
Over and over again.
Here we go. Come
Let's
on.
Try this. Clap your hands. Come on.
Woo!
Yeah. You keep on blocking me.
You keep on blocking me.